Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Go for it.
Mm. See, the blessing of Jacob. If you would turn with me to Exodus 20. That's right. Everybody gets a copy today.
Wow.
Because I want to point a few things out.
Amen.
I want to point a few things out. And I want to take us through a little bit of a journey here. So just stick with me here.
Come on.
In that. And I just want to say, Scott, good to see you this morning. Welcome, brother. And he's helped me with the projector and whatnot. And I apologize that today it's on VGA instead of on HDMI. I don't know how that got switched, but it's been switched. So we'll switch it back and it'll be sharper next week. Hallelujah. I'm actually for the next service. So, all right. Blessings and blessings. And let's look at the blessing on your sheet, because I know you guys want to look at the sheet anyway. So let's just get that over with. But I want to point out a couple of these, okay?
Yes.
Because see, what I don't know if the thing that I wanted to make sure that got conveyed, okay,
yes,
is that this is the thing that could be it.
Whoa.
Okay?
Hold on. Hey, hold on. Whoa, say that again.
This one. See, stepping into this blessing could be the it factor we've been waiting for. It could be the thing that makes the difference in our lives. It can make the difference. Because see, listen to what some of this says, okay? The second one down. The blessing is to access the face of God, transforming your name, your identity, and calling. In other words, there's a shift that is going on. There was a tremendous shift in Jacob's life. He went from being Jacob to being Israel. When he became Israel, he became the father of a nation.
Yeah.
The same promise that was handed to Abraham now and passed through Isaac now became his promise, his covenant, and he became the one who was the progenitor of all the families that were to come for the rest of time.
Woo!
Your name, his name, your name could be that which marks the rest of time.
Yeah.
His name marked all of that faith of the Jewish faith going forward. They were worshiping what? When the Jews worship, they worship what? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Forever remembered. Now, it's interesting. They didn't say Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph.
Wow.
Joseph was a mighty man. He was a tremendous man. It could have been a moment right there where he was recognized at the same place, but it's always Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why? Because it's representing the Father and the Son and the selection of the Holy Spirit. Because by natural selection, it should have gone to Esau, not Jacob.
Wow.
Because Esau was the older brother. He should have been the natural selection. But God, through Holy Spirit, selected Jacob. And then changed his name. I'm going to skip down. The next to the last one here.
Good.
The blessing for God is to consider and call you his friend.
Come on.
To consider and call you his friend.
I like that.
Because to me, this is one of the best ones yet. Because that was one of the greatest blessings that you can have. If you'll notice, these blessings aren't about our finances. Yes, there's a component of that. But these blessings go much bigger than that. And that's why I'm saying, when he calls you friend, now you have a dialogue that is open to you that wasn't open before. Now you begin to come face to face. We see with Jacob that he regularly had interface with angels who were working on his behalf to make things come out.
Yes.
How many of you would like to have a face-to-face encounter with an angel who's going to go and work on your behalf? I'm ready. I'm ready. Jacob, when he became, his blessing here was to walk as a possessor of heaven and earth. And the last one is the blessing to be transformed in the face of God from an orphan to a full-age son, to heirs and joint heirs with God, to reigning kings with the seven spirits of God.
Amen. Come on.
It's the shift that you're waiting for.
Yes.
It's the shift that we've been looking for. It's the moment that we've been ready to step into. Because, see, he's calling us to be kings.
Yes.
What is his, what is he saying? And what is he saying here in, let's see, 1 Peter 2:9 says, chosen race, a royal priesthood,
yes,
a holy nation. See, this is not just LaRue making up a list. This is what the word, these are things that are extracted from the concepts that the Bible is presenting.
Yeah.
Extracted from, because see, Peter was on that same trail. He was on the same trail and he recognized that we're called. And he says this, he said in verse 1 Peter 3:9 says, you are called for this very purpose to inherit a blessing. To inherit a blessing. You were called for that very purpose. How many are ready to inherit a blessing? Amen. Amen. The rest of you, that's okay. I'll inherit for you. I won't be shy. Oh, I do want to say one other announcement is that my mom's 85th birthday was on Friday. We got stuff put up on Thursday. So, yes, it was Friday. So, that's awesome. And welcome back. It's good to have you back in the... Amen. Amen. All right. So, this blessing is what gets us across the finish line. It gets us across the finish line. Are you ready? Are you, in other words, I like what Tina was saying. We've already stepped into the promised land. We got to recognize it. It's what gets you to the finish line. The blessing is what takes you into the finish line. You recognize that Jacob worked 7 years for Leah. Then he worked 7 years for Rachel. Then he worked 6 or 7 years for all the stuff he was going to drag off. 21 years he worked, and yet all that didn't get him the blessing that he got when he wrestled with the angel. That angel, that blessing shifted everything. The first blessings were good. I mean, I'm sure that Rachel and Leah and all that was good. I'm sure that having all those sheep and camels and goats and everything else was awesome for him to have, but they didn't change the world.
Come on.
The blessing changed the world.
Yeah.
The blessing changed the nation.
Yes.
The blessing birthed a nation.
Yes.
That's what we're looking to unlock. That's what we're looking to unlock. And so as we begin to unlock, well, sometimes when we're unlocking, we got to unlock. What? Unlock? Well, sometimes when we're unlocking something, we have to let something else go.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that I want to bring out this morning. That's why we're at Exodus 20, was because there's a concept of a generational curse that we need to let go of. Because, see, that concept stands in direct opposition to the blessing that we can receive.
Man.
That's a concept that is not truth, but it's something that's been taught, and something that actually even I myself at one point taught until 4 years ago when I became convinced that there's no such thing.
Man.
And so I'm not going to reteach all of that. I'm going to give you some highlights today. Because the highlights will be more than enough. But I can tell you, it's not even a guess. It's an overwhelming evidence.
Oh, wow.
It's an overwhelming... You know, lots of things in the Bible really aren't mentioned much. This concept is mentioned a lot. And it's mentioned in a very different way than it's presented. And I myself have presented it wrong. And I apologize to anybody that learned it wrong from me. Because I was... repeating what I had learned. All right. So with that, let's jump into Exodus 20 And then we'll remind me at the end, we're going to come back to Jacob, because I got a couple more things I want to say about Jacob. One that's going to set you on fire.
Amen.
All right?
Yeah.
You want to be on fire? I'm on fire up here, so that's good.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Woo!
All right, so Exodus 20, verse 5. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments.
Wow.
So I want you to know right there. Now, I just need a show of hands. How many in here hate God? How many in here hate God? Raise your hand. You guys intimidated or what? I don't see a hand. See, here's the deal. If you're here, you're here because you don't hate God. You're exempt. You're exempt from all that, any other rest of that nonsense. You're already exempt. We haven't even barely looked at the scripture and you're already exempt. That curse, wherever it came from, wasn't about you, because you don't hate God. See, the generational curse thing comes because people see things that happen in family lines. I'm not denying that things happen in family lines, but what he's saying, he's not saying he's going to put a curse on somebody. God's not in the cursing business now. There's a scripture called Galatians 3 and 13 that tells you that he became the curse because you chose to believe him.
Yes.
He became a curse on your behalf.
Wow.
He took that upon himself when he went up on that tree, he took that curse for you. So this, even in the Old Testament, would not have applied to you because you love God.
Glory.
See, when it says the word visiting, that word visiting means watching over, reviewing, and overseeing. What he's looking to see, is there a trend going on in this family? A trend of iniquity. Because what we see in those days, 3 and 4 generations would live in the same household. And so when there was iniquity in one, oftentimes that iniquity would be found in the rest of the household. Why? Because there's an environment for it. And that environment is what he's looking at. He's looking at the environment.
Good.
He's not coming about and saying, hey, they got a cake of iniquity over there. Let me go see if I can just hang out. Let me get a pint. That was never the case, but that's kind of how it's preached. That he's coming and he's looking to just do away with the whole family because of the iniquity of the father and wife. Then the sons and the grandsons and the great-grandsons got to go too. That was never the point. He's inspecting each and every heart. That's what this visiting means. He's inspecting the hearts. And he's not inferring punishment for the sins of previous generations. And so, let's flip over to Exodus 34. But while you're doing it, let me just mention that this same concept is presented in Deuteronomy 5:8, Numbers 14. In other words, we can see the same thing being said. He refers to this several times. But it's always done, when he's referring to it, it's always done in the context of referring to idolatry. He's rooting out idolatry. I'm going to root out idolatry wherever I find it. And because I'm rooting out idolatry, now I have the ability to come and be a blessing to this group of people. Why? Because I can't bless the idolater.
Good.
But I can bless those who love me. What did it say? It said a minute ago in Exodus 30 or 20, basically he said, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me. We're going to take it right here. Exodus 34, verse 7. Remember, this is coming right after in chapter 32. They had taken their blessing, they had taken their inheritance, melted it down, and made a golden calf. That was their choice as a nation while Moses was up on the mountain. And so in that moment, we're in a moment right now because of Moses' intercession that there is a national pardon being released to all of Israel. I think that shows loving kindness. Verse 7 says this, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity and transgression, and yet will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren and a third and a fourth generations. This national pardon was what's going on. He's saying right here, I thought that was the scripture. Maybe it says it different. But it's the thousand generations, but he's keeping his covenant. What covenant? The one he made with Abraham, the one he made with Isaac, the one he made with Jacob.
Yeah.
To a thousand, it actually, in the King James, it actually says a thousand generations. Wow. A thousand generations. So if he's doing it for a thousand generations, let's think about that just for a moment. Say a generation is 20 years. That's 20,000 years. That means that promise that he made, that covenant that he made then, is just as active today as it was then, because we're in nowhere near 20,000 years since that was said. I don't know about you, but I want to qualify. I'm going to step in.
Yeah.
I'm ready to cross over with him.
Yeah.
I'm ready to take advantage of this covenant that he's made. This covenant that says I can cross into my promised land. This covenant that says I can become a fulfillment of his promise.
Yeah. Come on. Good.
Can you imagine what happens when there's a mass identity change? Just because people showed up, they step in to a different identity. Just because they showed up and they came and they broke an old pattern just by stepping through the doors of a church. They broke an old pattern. And now they might have been the first in their family to step into that new pattern. But they stepped in and they stepped through and all of a sudden their life changes supernaturally. Why? Because they step into a place where there's a covenant that's alive. They step into a place where there's a covenant that's transforming. As they step into a place where covenant is causing them to shift into something they didn't even know yet. Because there's people here who are hungry for God. Because there's people here who are hungry to see him demonstrated. There's people here hungry for the miracles. There's people here who are hungry to see God demonstrated.
Good.
I did a funeral yesterday, and I don't know what they were expecting, but I can tell you that they got God preached.
Praise God.
They got grace released. And they got the Spirit moving, whether they knew what to do with it or not. And I'll be interested to see what happens on the backside of that, because they got some things that they weren't ready for.
Glory.
I was given an open road to preach Jesus, and we did.
Amen.
Praise God.
So a bunch of people who were...
Woo!
So it's fun to come and preach here where everybody's looking at you a little different. There they were looking at me like they had these beady eyes and their arms folded.
Yeah. Woo, come on.
Come on.
Right through it.
Come on. So I think you get the point. But here in, let me just point out here in 2 Kings 14, verses 5 and 6. There was, in that day and age, Amaziah put to death. You don't have to look it up right now. You can just hold those for later. But Mozzie had put to death all the ones who had been part of the who had sinned. But he did not put to death the sons. So we can see a clear interpretation right out of the Old Testament. This going a little bit further, let's look and see what's happening in Ezekiel 18. Because Ezekiel 18 is the Lord ministering about this subject. Because, see, this is not, you know, today is not the first time that those things of generational curses had come up. People were had continually misinterpreted those scriptures before. So God sets the record straight here in Ezekiel 18. When he sets the record straight, he's rather demonstrative about it. Because, see, right now, that you have to remember, in this moment, they were in exile. And God is reassuring that those who are righteous, I'm still with you. If you're righteous, I'm here for you. You are in the midst of a situation because of a national iniquity and a national sin that is being dealt with, but I still see you. See, the Lord tells us in 2 Peter, that he's able to pardon and able to bless those that are loving him and those that are following him at the same time that he can put unrighteousness under the punishment. And we see that demonstrated when he drew Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
We see that happen when he put Noah in the ark and floated off while the rest of the world was under the punishment. He's able to preserve the righteous in every situation, and your trust has to be in that he is a good God. Because when your trust is that he is in a good God, this good God can actually protect you, shelter you, even in the midst, and you're not being judged in the same way as the rest. We look at different situations in our current political environment and it makes you wonder what might be happening next. But I want you to understand you can still stand with God.
Yes.
And he's going to cover your righteousness.
Yes.
So, God clarifies here. Verse 2. What do you mean using this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers eat the sour grapes, but the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, declares God, you are surely not going to use this proverb in Israel anymore.
Wow.
You're not going to use this proverb anymore. Is he upset with this proverb? Do we understand what the proverb means?
Mm-hmm.
See, the proverb means that when what they were saying is that the fathers had partaken of something they shouldn't have partaken with. They had partaken of a fruit that wasn't good for them. But the sons were having to live out the fruit of that, the result of that. So what they were saying is basically, we're in captivity for what our fathers did, not we're in captivity for what we did. Which brings up a point. See, this is an indictment against God. Unknowingly, when we come into an agreement with generational curses, we're indicting God in his goodness.
Wow.
I know, that was exciting to hear. Because I had to go, whoa, I repent. When I realized this, I was like, oh, that was not ever my intention. But I really can see now it was an indictment of him. Because I was saying that there was something in my God that would do me harm. And that's not his case. That's not who he is. And so when he said this, I'm not happy with this proverb. An unjust accusation. But here he goes on to clarify here. It says, verse 4, "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. But the soul who sins will die." And he goes on, and we can, there's a lot here that the whole chapter is this example and precedent. The whole chapter, he goes on to tell you, he gives you examples of when the righteous do this, this is going to happen, it's good. When the unrighteous, it doesn't matter whether it's the unrighteous is the Father or the Son, then the other one is not held to their punishment. Verse 20 is about personal responsibility. I know personal responsibility is not a big thing anymore, but it's a good thing because I don't want to be judged for somebody else's sin. I got enough of my own to deal with. I don't need y'all's. I don't need y'all's. Ha. But the person who sins, verse 20, will die. The Son will not bear the punishment for the Father's iniquity, nor will the Father bear the punishment for the Son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself. Are we ready? Are we in? Okay.
Glory to God.
So now, verse 27. Again, when a wicked man turns away from his wickedness which he has committed, and practices justice and righteousness, he will save his life. Because he considered and turned away from his transgressions, which he had committed. He shall live and not die. But the house of Israel says, this is why he's a little upset with him, the way of the Lord is not right. See, that proverb was basically saying the way of the Lord is not right. That's kind of a bold thing to go and say. My ways are not right, house of Israel. Is it not your ways that are not right? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, each according to his conduct. Repent and turn away from your transgressions so that iniquity may not become a stumbling block. Cast away all your transgressions which you committed and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Where did we see this? We see the same concept in Jeremiah 31. We see the same concept, a new heart and a new spirit. Guess what? He also ties it to the same thing. He's putting an end to idolatry. He's putting an end to iniquity. He's making up and setting a difference between those who are righteous and those who are not.
Right.
Verse 32, he signs it up with a simple formula, we'll call it, a formula for success here. So I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord God. Therefore, repent and live. Repent and live. Hallelujah. In Jeremiah 31, he adds this. When he talks about a new heart and a new spirit, and he says he's given us a new covenant, which we now get to enjoy. And he says, their sin I will remember no more. This is what we get to step into. This is what we get to inherit. But we first have to let go of those other concepts. God's not looking to curse us. He's looking to bless us. He's looking to bring a blessing into your life. He's looking to bring that transformation so that you can begin to look like Him. He's looking to bring that place of change so that your life is no longer about what was the problem. Your life now can become what's about the solution. So your life can begin to resemble the Maker instead of the messer. That kind of gets it down where we can get something. Resemble the maker instead of the messer. Some parts of my life I made a real mess of. But God has done something in my life, and because of that, Christ is in my life, and He's alive, and He's on a journey, and I'm on a journey with Him, and I'm going to stand with Him until I begin to resemble the Maker. Because my Maker has something for me. My Maker has something for you. And I want each and every one of us to step in with the Maker, because He's the one who's also going to be the blesser.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
New Testament perspective. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. New Testament perspective in John 9, verses 1 through 4 or so. He's talking, and they come upon a man who was blind from birth. And he's talking to Jesus. They're talking to Jesus and say, Jesus, who was the one that sinned, this man or his parents? They're basically asking, is he under a curse? And Jesus says, no. No. Then he goes on to say, but for the rest of the world, because of God to be seen, for the nature of God to be seen, let's raise him up. Let's make him not blind. See, this is what begins to flow when we begin to see and believe for the miracle and the blessing of God instead of holding to the curse of the enemy.
Come on.
It's time for us to become the ones that are the first in a generation to be the curse breakers, so that we can become inheritance makers.
Come on.
Standing in generations. Allowing the generations now to flow out of you. Allowing the generations. The other day I got caught up in prayer and in this encounter where I could just see generations being touched and changed. Not just in my own family, but in the family of all those that I could reach around me. But I could see generations going generations deep with changes, with blessings being released, with wholeness, wellness. There's spirit, soul, and body. Let's be the temple of God. Let's be the temple of God. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that we are a new creation. If we're a new creation, we're no longer being held by the things the old creation was put under. Meaning, this little flesh suit that I wear is not me. This flesh suit that I wear is part of the old system. But the new, the real me that's inside here is going to becoming out more and more every day. Jacob was like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. It was that kind of transformation at that moment when he was wrestling with the angel. See, oftentimes what we're doing is we're teaching people how to cope with their situation instead of teaching them how to be a different person. Instead of teaching them their identity and who they are in Christ, we're trying to teach them how to put on a couple of leaves and jump off the tree anyway and hope they can fly.
Get the blessing.
Have you ever seen caterpillars in flight school?
It's 1115, the blessing.
They get up there and they get right to the end of the ranch, Jerry, and they kind of bob a couple of times, and then they just run and ready. Spread those leaves out.
Started about.
That's not how it works, is it?
Okay.
See, in order to become a butterfly, there's a transformation.
I'll tell you when.
That's what we're looking for, is the transformation. So that I'm no longer manifesting the things of the old nature and the old man. I am now free to set and soar. And now the things that were impossible to me before become possible. In order to get for a caterpillar to get from this point to that point, it would have taken hours, if not days, to go across the yard.
Right.
Beautiful. But the butterfly just steps out and flows up,
yes,
catches the current,
amen,
and the current carries it where it needs.
Amen.
The transformation is what we're after.
Da-da-ba.
The transformation is what's possible. One of the things that's allowed me to see this way is that when a couple of weeks ago, I began to realize the enemy was squatting on my territory. He was an illegal squatter. He's squatting illegally on my territory. Because why? Because my blessings were being inhabited by the enemy instead of by me. And so I began to just go in, and as I was going into prayer, and I would just present this to the Lord, and I presented it at the Jordan, and something interesting happened. The Jordan, in that moment, dried up in that prayer. So, if you recall, the Jordan dried up when they stepped into the Promised Land. When they stepped into the Promised Land.
Come on.
What happened? It said that the water backed up all the way to Adam and stood as a heap at Adam. Do you know what Jordan means? The word Jordan means descender. In other words, the Jordan before, when the water was flowing, it was descending, and all the things that had originated from Adam were making their way down to me.
Wow.
But in this moment, he showed me that as I step into the promise, he puts a stop. Everything that was descending from Adam no longer has access to me. Because in that moment, he put a stop to it. And so all the enmity, all the iniquity, all the things that were separating me from God, he put a stop to, and I could walk across into the promise on dry land. Now we're ready. Why? Because I'm no longer being dictated to by the mandates of the flesh. I'm no longer being dictated to by the mandates of everything that happened out of sin and the course of sin in our lives. I no longer had to respond to the iniquities. Why? Because he's made it possible to put an end.
Amen.
In my new nature. Put an end to it. Jacob. Remember, 21 years of striving didn't produce what the blessing did.
Wow.
Remember that Jacob becomes Israel. Remember that it wasn't Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. It was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember now, Jacob actually means deceiver. Who's the deceiver? The enemy. Israel means prevailer. Jacob moved from being in the camp of the deceiver to being in the camp of the prevailer in one moment as he wrestled with an angel. He moved out of the deceiving camp and into the prevailing camp. We today would call it the overcomer.
Amen.
He moved out of the deceiver into the overcomer. He stepped out of the enemy's camp and into his destiny. He became, in other words, that's an absolute picture of becoming a born-again Christian, the one who knows and who he is in God. That's where the transformation. Now, that was the access to the blessing. That opened the door. Remember in this transaction that his hip was touched. And he was limping forever after that. I believe that he was symbolizing that he no longer could walk in the natural, but now had to walk by the Spirit.
Yeah.
He could no longer depend on his natural ability, but he had to depend upon what God did. Because where was he going? He was on his way to meet Esau, and he was greatly afraid, so much so that he sent all his wife and his goods and his children in front of him so that they would meet him first. Because he was expecting that maybe this wasn't going to be such a fun meeting, and now he's got this limp and he ain't even able to run. He can't do it in his own strength. He can't do it in his own strength anymore. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm doing things in my own strength, I kind of get in the way.
Kinda.
The front row shall remain silent. Amen. That was a good time for an amen, bro. Hallelujah.
What about us?
All the rest of you can. Yeah, as long as you're cheering, that's all good. We can say amen. See, my own strength is limited. It doesn't matter who you are. Some of us have more gifts than others. I did find out something else this week that set me free to worship. Okay? It really has, and it's been phenomenal. It set me free to worship because I realized that In heaven, they know not only what you do, but why you do it. And they know what you've been equipped with. And so when I worship, when I sing, they know how limited my abilities were, and the fact that I can get double honor now because I use those little tiny abilities to actually do something. Hey, I thought that was really funny, but...
Wow.
It actually just set me free. I'm okay. I don't care what anybody else thinks now. Glory to God.
That's the grace to listen. Praise God.
So you got to celebrate these things, guys.
Amen.
Yeah.
Celebrate these things. Well, I don't know if you all be celebrating it, but I'm going to celebrate it.
We celebrate Tim's voice.
We celebrate Tim's voice. That's right. That's right.
Wow.
I'm going to wind this up. There's another handout. And so it hasn't been, no, only one went out so far because I didn't want them looking. Or did you get both of them? Okay. The other one will come out after the service. You can, but here's what it is, basically. It's a prayer to break off the generational curses.
Amen.
Okay, we don't call them generational curses. But it's a prayer to break off all those things that are familiar to family lines. From the perspective of who you are in Christ. From the perspective that you love God. From the perspective that you're one who's in agreement for His blessing in your life.
Yes.
And I believe that if you'll take those prayers and you'll go through those prayers with you and your family, that it's, you're going to find that there's some deliverance that happens. And that's okay.
Amen. Yeah.
Because as we stand in agreement with God, that's actually standing in the wisdom of God.
You to put the first map on here.
And I believe it's still saying
the first
that's
circle.
Like we previously, if you want to know more about the whole generational curses issue, I taught about that 4 years ago. It's out on the website and it's on a couple of places. It was almost exactly 4 years ago that was first taught. But there's a whole wealth of information out there. It's not a guess. But God is wanting to bless. It's our Lord and Savior who comes to save us. He comes to draw us near. He comes to nurture us. He comes to lift us up. He comes to draw us into His plan and His purpose and give us access to what's going forward. He wants to come and deposit vision in us so that we can carry it forth and recognize and be a part of His mission in this world. Hallelujah. Is there anything else that I did not figure out? Yes. Yes. Okay, I see Miss Kim has something. All right. Don't forget, in the Jordan, he's gonna remove that which has been descending from Adam. Amen. Come on out, baby.
Well, since we're talking about transformation, the Lord asked me this morning, why take the time to ascend to me? I ask, why not? Okay, I can stop now. Anyway, what answer has the world ever given to you that lasts beyond the moment? If you desire permanent change, it can only be found in me. It is only through transformation by my presence and my Holy Spirit that will prove to be life-changing. Surface changes do not advance the kingdom. They do not satisfy. When we are face to face, you cannot help but be inundated by my love. The truth is found here. Truth that will break off decades of lives that have attached themselves to you, sometimes by assignment, sometimes by choice. What stops you, child? Is it the lie that you're unworthy to meet me so intimately? I answer you that that is not true. Hear me speak the truth about this now and forever, and settle it in your heart. You are my beloved child, and I have always desired this closeness. Do you think you're unable to reach me? That you're less than others who have successfully made the journey? You have the capacity, child, to not only sit with me, but to also take what you find with me back to your present jurisdiction. It's all for the glory of the kingdom. And it is in my plan. Come and be transformed. What do you really have to lose that is worth holding on to? What I have for you is far better than these things. It is far better than gold.